Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And if you would be interested in calling us, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 831. If you're calling from outside the country, 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. And we have with us Pastor David Whitney from the Institute of the Constitution, and we're going to be talking about the document that makes America different than any other country in the world. You see, we had a founding document. It was called the Declaration of Independence, which stipulated that our freedoms came from God. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that to ensure those rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. We were a nation where our freedom came from God. Now, of course, we have people in the Supreme Court today who hate God, who do not want any representation of God in our courthouses, and that's why the recent decision for Kentucky that said, oh, you couldn't post the Ten Commandments, you know, in our schools or public places, that is religious. Well, it's all right to have the Earth Charter in our schools, which is, of course, comes right out of the pit of hell and represents the religion of pantheism. That's all right to have in our schools, but don't you ever mention the Ten Commandments of God. Oh, because Gorbachev says the Earth Charter will replace the Ten Commandments. It is a religious document. Where are the lawsuits to get the Earth Charter out of our schools and to show what it is? Don't we have equal justice? And we do not. We have a corrupt legal system that is dominated by people who are intent upon destroying the foundations of our freedom. Well, we're not going to be able to maintain them unless we understand them, and that's why we have with us today Pastor David Whitney. David, thank you so much for being with us.
Dr. Stan, it's always a privilege to be on your show and to speak with your audience of astute listeners who do care enough about their country to be concerned about what's taking place. As you just mentioned, Supreme Court decisions, you know, the Declaration mentions that one of those God-given rights is our right to own property, which the Supreme Court basically has struck down in its eminent domain, standing behind the state stealing people's property. And this is going to only get worse unless the people of America rise up and say, no, what they are doing is lawless, because the supreme law of the land is the United States Constitution. Most Americans don't know that. They, you know, believe whatever comes out of the black robe lawyer's mouth becomes the supreme law. No, that's not the case. And we can take back America if people will learn the Constitution and then apply the Constitution, holding their elected officials accountable to the terms of this contract, this covenant we have entered into.
And of course, the thing is that the Congress has the right, in Article 3, Section 2, to negate what the court is doing. I mean, they could pass the partial birth abortion bill and say the Supreme Court or no other federal court can interfere with this. They could do the same thing as far as the Ten Commandments is concerned, declare it the foundation of our country and pass a. But you see, nobody wants to do that, and they want to think we're a nation of law. No, we're a lawless nation, and those black robe judges not only have black robes, I believe they have black hearts, and many of them worship a different God. And until the American people are willing to stand up and take a stand, we're going to continue losing our freedom. And we're going to be back in just a moment with Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution, because believe me, if the American people understood our Constitution, saying that the judges are not, of course, not responsible for the law, they're destroying the law, and they're destroying the very religious foundations of our country upon which our freedom rests. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. And David, please pick up the story. And we lost our previous listeners. We have new listeners, so don't be afraid to repeat yourself.
Well, we're talking about the crisis of the Constitution, how we went from what our founders in the clear era of the founding of our nation talked about absolutes based upon the Bible, which many people don't understand. But if you read what they said and you understand the background of their thinking, you understand it was the Bible that was underlying their concept of law, what is legal, what is illegal. And we've shifted off of that biblical foundation of moral absolutes to a relativism and a humanism of our day. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 11:3, "If be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" And the answer is the righteous can rebuild the foundations. And that's what we at Institute on the Constitution are doing in teaching people what our founders' understanding of law and government based upon a biblical worldview, and reinvigorating Americans to recapture our nation from the pagan worldview that's holding sway today. Thomas Jefferson once said, "In questions of power, then, let no more be said of confidence in man, but bind him down with the chains of the Constitution." They recognize that anyone you put into a position of power, even if that person is a Christian, they are not to be trusted with the power you put in their hands. There must be checks and balances. There must be all sorts of ways to prevent them from becoming tyrants. And what has taken place, as we've just talked about in the previous segment, is that the judges have become tyrants in our day. One of the few appointees, you could say he was an appointee that was not Supreme Court, Honorable Robert Bork, he wrote in his book, The Tempting of America, about what happens when a judge gets into the position of power. He said, in law, the moment of temptation is the moment of choice. When a judge realizes that in the case before his strongly held view of justice, his political and moral imperative is not embodied in a statute or in any provision of the Constitution, he must then choose between his version of justice and abiding by the government. Yet the desire to do justice, whose nature seems to him obvious, is compelling, while the concept of constitutional process is abstract, rather arid, and the abstinence it counsels unsatisfying. To give in to temptation this one time solves an urgent human problem, and a faint crack appears in the American foundation. A judge has begun to rule where a legislator should. And this is what's happened in our land as we have shifted off the biblical absolutes and allowed...
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution, and he was just simply commenting that Judge Bork, who of course was not confirmed to sit on the Supreme Court, but Judge Bork had basically said that, you know, you could have a rule by the judges. They could do what they thought was, well, socially acceptable, or maybe there was a problem out there. And if you simply, passed the law this way, you'd solve the social problem. But in so doing, you would begin to undermine the very fabric of our Constitution. And it is not up to the judge to do what he thinks is a nice thing to do. It was not up to the judge to help. His job to interpret the Constitution as the founders laid out and as the founders proclaimed the Constitution. The Constitution is not evolving. It is not a living document. Contrary to all the lies you've been told, it is the foundation of our freedom. And when judges began, of course, to reinterpret the Constitution, they want it interpreted. Why we lay the foundation for the establishment of a fascist society, this is what's happened time and again down throughout history, where we've had rule by men rather than rule by law. Go ahead, David.
Well, the framers' view of the Constitution is very clear because they had a worldview that said law, like truth, is unchanging. It's absolute. And actually, they said it was God-ordained. God is the one who created the laws of the universe, both the physical laws, like gravity, as well as the moral laws, like thou shalt not kill. That's God's law. And they derived this view of truth from the Bible. The Old Testament has a word for truth, emes. It's fixed, unchanging, meets the test of time. The New Testament uses the word aletheia. And that word actually is identified with Jesus Christ himself, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so truth, like Christ, is unchanging. It doesn't vary. It doesn't evolve. It stays fixed. And therefore, the law is also fixed. Now, in a broader understanding, they also derive their view of a fixed, unchanging law from the laws of nature. Sir Isaac Newton taught that the universe is governed by fixed, absolute, God-ordained laws, scientific laws like motion and mathematics and chemistry, physics, gravity, etc. And the moral laws for the governance of man were as unchanging as those physical laws. Newton himself, you know, was a devout Christian. He actually wrote more extensively on Bible prophecy and other things related to Scripture, but those views are usually hidden, and only his scientific writings are promoted. Now, their view of the law being fixed also was derived from legal and political thinkers like William Blackstone and Montesquieu and Locke, and we've talked about those influences before. Each of those men taught that man's laws must conform to the revealed law of Scripture, the law of the universe. The law of nature and of nature's God, both are dictated by God himself, believe very clearly. The Constitution was to be interpreted according to a fixed, unchanging standard, and its plain meaning is to be interpreted by the intent of those who drafted and ratified it. In other words, we're to get ourselves back into the mindset and the time period and the thinking of our founders' era. Then we can understand what they meant by the words of the Constitution. For example, James Madison, who's rightly called the father of the Constitution, said, "If the sense in which the Constitution was accepted and ratified by the nation be not the guide in expounding it, there can be no security for a faithful exercise of its powers." And that's the tragic thing we see taking place today, whether Supreme Court or Congress and decisions and legislative things they do, or the president himself and executive orders he issues. They are violating the Constitution on a daily basis because they're not going by the guide of meant by the words they wrote down in our founding document, the Constitution, as well as in the Declaration.
And I think it's so important for people to understand that if the people want really to change the foundation of our system of government, it can be done by the amendment process, but it is a difficult thing to do. And it requires, of course, the vote of two-thirds of the, as I recall, the House of Delegates, or and then three-quarters of the states to amend the Constitution. Now, if the people of the America want to take away the property rights to mean that eminent domain means that a developer can simply pay off the people on the city council or the board of supervisors to get private property that he doesn't want to pay for, so he can simply pay off the politicians and get the property that way. And that's really, of course, what really happens. If you don't think that a lot of our politicians take money from developers and other sources, you've got to be incredibly naive. In fact, even Arnold Schwarzenegger on the Just Week said, you know, this Supreme Court decision is wrong because all you have to do is have the developer pay off the politicians. and Arnold, I hate to say it, he's sounding more and more knowledgeable about what really goes on. But you see, the American people don't want that, as Jay Leno said, and I don't know if it's true or not. He said there was a poll, and 95% of the people were against the Supreme Court decision. So where did they get off doing this? Why, you have a group of men who, this was all right to take property. This is not in the Constitution. It is not what the people want. We do not have rule by law. We have rule by black-hearted judges. So, and I think that the Constitution was unique. It can be amended, but it's much easier if you just put those people in the Supreme Court who are quite willing to violate the law. Nobody points that out, and then say, well, we're a nation of law, aren't we? And that's what the president said with the murder of Terry Schiavo. Mm-hmm. Well, we're a nation of law, and Jeb Bush said, we're a nation of law. And there were lots of things he could have done that were illegal. He didn't bother to do them. They're pandered to the Christians. And of course, then everybody says, gee, we're a nation of law. Maybe we're going to have to change the laws, but nobody does much of anything about it. And we've started down the slippery slope, and who knows, next year could be one of your loved ones, or maybe even you. Go ahead, Tim.
Yes, Jefferson assured the people as he took office as the third president that the Constitution on which our union rests shall be administered by me according to the safe and honest meaning contemplated by the plain understanding of the people of the United States at the time of its adoption. In other words, to me, he was saying, Jefferson, to honestly fulfill his role as president, he had to go to the understanding of the Constitution as it was adopted by the people at the time of its adoption in order to do his job and his function. Boy, I wish we had a president today that would do that We desperately need one. George Washington also said, if in the opinion of the people the distribution or modification of the constitutional powers be at any particular wrong, that is, if we don't like the way our founders structured it, let it be corrected by an amendment in the way which the Constitution designates. Notice what he goes on to say, if you do not follow the amendment process of the Constitution. But let there be no change by usurpation. Though this may, in one instance, be the instrument of good, it is customary weapon by which free governments are. And that's exactly what has happened. It's almost prophetic. George Washington, looking down the corridor of history, could see that the potential for destroying our constitutional republic was right there in avoiding the process of amending the Constitution, allowing judges to amend it by their own fiat decisions, or legislators writing pieces of legislation in violation of the Constitution, or the president issuing edicts, which he calls, you know, executive orders that violate the Constitution. If we let these people in office get away with violating the Constitution, we will lose all of our freedoms, which is why it's so imperative for people to know the Constitution, understand it as the original writers intended it, and then hold our elected officials accountable to that standard and throw them out of office if they will refuse to uphold that standard, and only put people into office who will maintain that standard of the.
And, you know, I think what is so vitally important that for people to understand is they can impeach those Supreme Court justices or the members of Congress that simply pass legislation, say, on private property and say the courts cannot intervene here. Or they could have done that with partial birth abortion, or they could do that with abortion if they really wanted to. And the Constitution gives the Congress the ability to put an amendment onto a bill saying the courts may not address this issue. It was Thomas Jefferson writing, said this, "It has long been my opinion, and I have never shrunk from its expression, that the germ of dissolution of our federal government is in the constitution of our federal judiciary. An irresponsible body for impeachment is scarcely a scarecrow, working night and by day, gaining a little today and a little tomorrow, and advancing its noiseless step like a thief over the field of jurisdiction, until all shall be usurped from the states, and the government of all be consolidated into one. To this I am opposed, because when all government, domestic and foreign, in little as in great things, shall be drawn to Washington as the center of all power, it will render powerless the checks of one government on another, and will become as venal and oppressive as the government from which we separated." Thomas Jefferson wrote that. If anybody would like to get the pages from his Master Thoughts of Thomas Jefferson, we'll get it for them. But isn't that so true, David?
It is, and that's where we are today, because the people, not knowing what the Constitution said, have, well, just given a blank check to our federal government to do whatever the federal government chooses. And my goodness, the federal government has taken that miles and miles down the road from anything that would have been envisioned by our founding fathers. And it all began from the era of our founders. There began to be a changed view of truth among philosophers and among, began to influence society as a whole. Jean-Jacques Rousseau, who's evil ideas erupted in the French, the bloody French Revolution, the bloodbath there, he rejected the concept of sin, something all of our founder fathers believed, that every man is a sinner, therefore checks and balances are required on him. And Rousseau stressed the goodness of man. Again, our founder said, no, men are not good, you cannot trust them. Rousseau blamed human institutions for the existence of evil, which is kind of a circular argument. If human institutions are responsible for the existence of evil, aren't the humans in charge of those institutions? That, you know, again, he had some problems in his thinking, and he had this view of the state as supreme. Well, his ideas were carried forward by Friedrich Hegel, who actually was a very powerful influence on Karl Marx, and he also rejected the concept of absolute unchanging truth. He preached that truth is relative, which again is a irrational idea.
And we're going to be back in just a moment with Pastor David Whitney talking about our matchless Constitution, the very foundation of our freedom. A book that will really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaw's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaw's book, A Route to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we
we live today, going into the background of Masonry Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaa will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today, and unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaa.
This is Hesardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health, despite their fatty diet, because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health wine without the calorie sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's red wine molecules, preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000. This is health journalist Bill Sardi.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763.
Have you purchased or invested in gold and silver coins or bullion in the last several years? If so, you've most likely been taken advantage of. In a lot of cases, out and out lied to. There are several tricks of the trade in play in the precious metals and collector coin markets. This is especially true during a hot market. Although it doesn't take a savvy investor to avoid the pitfalls of unscrupulous coin and metals dealers, it does take some common sense and the knowledge of which questions to ask. The asset management professionals at Colonial Resources can arm you with a few simple questions to ask your current broker or coin dealer. To find out if you've been taken advantage of, or if you're thinking of investing, call Colonial Resources toll-free, 1-800-685-4042. The precious metals and collector coin markets are hot and definitely where the smart money is heading. But before you make a mistake that could cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars, call the professionals at Colonial Resources. The call and the advice are free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Pastor David Whitney. David, just go ahead and pick up the story from there.
Yes, we were talking about Friedrich Hegel as part of one of those influential thinkers who helped bring about a change in the culture, in our culture ultimately, but he believed that truth evolves from age to age, so it's always changing from one age to the next, and the means by which that takes place is a three-step process he called the dialectic. The thesis, that's the idea put forward, then is confronted with an antithesis, the opposite of it, and finally a synthesis, some sort of compromise between those two, and this is a three-step process, he said, by which change takes place. The father of positivism, really a religion, Auguste Comte, he proclaimed that the only meaningful truth is that which can be empirically verified. That is, with your five senses, you can taste it, touch it, see it, whatever. So ideas obviously like God, divine law, natural rights, equality, human dignity, all these became meaningless under what he was proclaiming as the father of positivism. Of course, we know that Charles Darwin, we discussed him in the last program, he actually popularized the idea of biological evolution, and his ideas were promoted heavily by Herbert Spencer, who made it a model for every area of thinking, that everything evolves, including law and including government. And therefore, the idea of government and the legal process evolving ultimately came to our country, promoted heavily by Christopher Columbus Langdell, the dean of Harvard Law School. And he began to train lawyers in this idea, who ultimately became very influential in our country. He preached that there are no divine absolutes in law, which is actually what our founders said. They said it's self-evident that God has given us inalienable rights. And he denied that idea. And he said that law is simply man-made. Whatever the state says is law, according to Langdell. And therefore, law evolves as man evolves. And judges are the key to this, because the judges guide the evolution of law by making decisions. Each decision they make, well, really each opinion they write, then is a new step in the evolutionary process. So he taught his students a new way to study law, and that was to study the original sources, he claimed, was to study the decision of the judges. Each opinion issued by a judge evolved the law, and thus he developed this case law method of legal study, which 99.9% of all law schools in our land today use that method to teach their students. They're teaching them there are no fixed absolutes in law. The law changes as the judges rule. Therefore, the Supreme Court recently basically said, oh, you know, property rights, you don't have any property rights. The government has the right to your property anytime they choose. She doesn't have a right to life. Her life could be taken by starvation and dehydration. All of these decisions you see are new steps in the evolution of law, which is what those who believe Christopher Columbus Langdell's evil hold to that idea. The result, of course, is the idea that the Constitution, therefore, is not fixed. It's not a fixed standard. It's a living, breathing Constitution. And judges, therefore, are not at all bound in this view. They're not at all bound by the original intent of the framers of our form of government. They're free to give new meaning to the Constitution. They're free to invent new rights, flesh or the right to privacy. All these things they can invent whenever they choose, because they really become the new gods of our society. They're the ones who make the law, and whatever comes out of their mouth becomes what is legal. Some legal scholars have actually called the Supreme Court a continuing constitutional convention, and that's what it's acting as. It can change the Constitution any time it chooses. So they feel free to create new rights, not foundation, like Lawrence v. Texas. They created a right to homosexual sodomy, when just a few years earlier, they issued the opposite opinion. The opinion said, you have no right to homosexual sodomy under the Constitution. Now, 10 years later, Lawrence v. Texas, they say the opposite. Of course you have a right to homosexual sodomy under the Constitution. Any thinking person would say, what's going on here? These people are crazy up there in that Supreme Court. They don't know what, they can't even make up their mind. They change their opinion every time the wind blows. Well, what's happening is they are evolving the law according to their perverted view of law. But the truth is, if there is no fixed standard of law, it really means that the one who holds the most power, or we could get right down to the bottom line and say the one who holds the biggest guns is the one who ultimately determines what is legal and what is not legal.
And sometimes I really think that they are sort of toying with us, you know, every once in a while to give us the impression that we may be able to turn this thing around just through the judicial process. They come up with a decision that we tend to agree with. But then, of course, 10 years later, they undermine it. So they know exactly what they're doing, little bit by little bit. The point by point, they gradually erode and destroy the foundation of our freedom until soon there will be no freedom at all. We will be just like it was in Hitler's Germany, where, of course, the judges said it was perfectly all right to kill those lives that were not worth living. Gee, doesn't that sound like Terry Schiavo? We'll be back in just a moment here with Pastor David Whitney talking about our priceless Constitution.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened at Oklahoma City, what really happened with the TWA 800 that went down Eastern Coast? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts as a file. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Orchley, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America. It's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon, Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. David, before we go on, will you please go ahead and just tell our listeners how they could get in touch with you and the Institute, and of course, what they will receive when they do contact you?
Dr. Stan, we put together what we call a host kit, because we know most people be intimidated by the idea of teaching other people the Constitution, so Professor John Einsmo does the teaching in half-hour lectures in 12 sessions, and we put together a student notebook with a very detailed outline of each of those lectures and a series of questions at the end that the host leads the class through, and the host, of course, has all the answers to those discussion questions as well as the tests that the student will be taking between each. That all the preparation and materials they need to host the class successfully, which will give people a working knowledge of the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, so they can hold their elected officials accountable and perhaps recognize that they need to replace those elected officials, maybe even because they will have a better understanding of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights at the end of this course than most of the elected officials, 90-some percent of the elected officials in Washington, D.C. today. And they can call us and order a host kit toll-free. Our toll-free number is 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or they can actually order it on the web if they go to our website, iotconline.com. That's iotconline.com. We urge all of your listeners to get a host kit and teach a community of people at their church, family members, friends, people they may gather together at the library or whatever setting they can find, because we need to educate millions of Americans of the truth of what our founders said in order to retake our country from those who have destroyed our constitutional republic.
Amen to that. And I recommend the program to you. I believe this is what we need. The first thing, you know, you need to have a proper relationship with the Lord. The second thing you need to do is understand the foundations of our freedom and understand that this is a unique government. It was built upon Christian principles, acknowledging that our freedom came from God. And when they talked about God, they were talking about Jesus Christ. And contrary to everything you're going to hear today, and so often you'll be in a discussion, and people say, well, our founding fathers were deists. I mean, Jefferson and the Benjamin Franklin were deists. They were all deists. And I always like to say, and I did this the other night, I was on a very, very hostile program, and I said, well, not acknowledge that Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson and perhaps Alexander Hamilton were deists. The five other of the founding fathers of America who were not evangelical Christians, five others who were deists. Can you give me the names of five? How about four? How about three? And of course, she couldn't come up with any names because she really didn't know. She had been programmed to believe a lie, and this is what they're teaching our kids in school today. That's why they have to take God and the Ten Commandments out of our schools. That's why they have to remove Christian history from our schools, because our children are being trained. Their loyalty is not to our Constitution, but to the New World Order and the New World pagan religion.
Mm-hmm. Well, we were talking before the break about the development that Christopher Columbus Langdell brought to our country, and it has taken some very in the legal community. You may hear occasionally about this. One is called legal realism, which argues that since there are no divine absolutes, God hasn't set up any laws that are fixed, and there are no natural law principles that exist, which is exactly what our founding fathers believed, that they argue that the legal system should stop pretending to be neutral and objective, and instead work openly to advance its causes and the clients that it favors. In other words, to be just another political tool and nothing more. Now, you won't hear much about this, because if this were popularly understood as the idea in the mind of many judges and many politicians, people would be outraged. They can't admit that this is what they believe, because if they admitted it, people would know that their belief system says there is no right and wrong except behind the power of a gun. Mao Zedong's kind of philosophy. Well, another very extreme movement is a Marxist movement that's called the Critical Legal Studies Movement, and it argues that the system should be openly partial to the so-called poor and oppressed, and should openly work against the rights of the rich and the religious establishment. And so this is a Marxist attempt, again, to undo our entire system. But, you know, we see examples, and many examples we could cite. Let me just cite one in Furman v. Georgia, which was 1972 decision. Justices Brennan and Marshall in the Supreme Court argued that capital punishment, they said, is a cruel punishment, which therefore is barred by the Eighth Amendment. Now, this is a ridiculous opinion, because the framers clearly intended that capital punishment was to be part of our system. Read the Fifth Amendment. The Fifth Amendment clearly refers to loss of life, capital punishment. And so here Brennan and Marshall are arguing that the founders were self-contradictory. In the Eighth Amendment, they said capital punishment is not possible. In the Fifth Amendment, they said capital punishment is. So, you know, that's the kind of insanity that these people step into. Well, if you think about a living constitution, and often you'll run into people who believe in a living constitution, you need to have a discussion with them to warn them of the grave dangers of a living constitution, because in a living constitution, no human rights are secure. The same court that read into the Constitution rights that are not there, like abortion and homosexual sodomy and so forth, they can read out of the Constitution rights that are clearly there, like property rights, as we've seen here with the Supreme Court, or contract rights, or your right to keep and bear arms, or your right to the free exercise of religion, things that are clearly in the Constitution. They can ignore and fusion as if they did not exist. That's the basis of the living Constitution.
How about your right to life? Certainly, if they can say it's all right to kill, people who are infirmed or don't have lives that are not worth living, and it's all right to kill the unborn, and it's all right to kill the partially born, why not kill people because, of course, they're troublemakers or they're racially inferior? And that was, of course, what they did in Hitler. So Germany, they wanted to get rid of the Jews and the Gypsies because, of course, they wanted to purify the gene pool that was all about eugenics. What's wrong with breeding a better race of man, if you don't believe in a God, that is?
Mm-hmm. Well, if you have a living constitution, there's no guarantee that it will move upward, that history will prove that society is improving, that there's a greater recognition of human rights, human dignity, and human equality. History has shown more often to move downward to barbarism in each civilization, and there's no guarantee that judges are going to be any more enlightened and forward-looking than the general population in matters of human rights and equality. In fact, much of history shows the exact opposite. Judges have been in the forefront of the greatest evils. Nazi Germany could not have done the evil that it did without the judges being fully behind it. So judges are not any safeguard to our freedoms or liberty. So a fixed standard of the Constitution is a far better guarantee of human rights than any evolving judge-made standard. Secondly, we need to remember that not only are human rights not secure under a living Constitution, a living Constitution always leads to big government. And you can see that in the strained interpretations of the General Welfare Clause in the Constitution, the Interstate Commerce Clause, the Necessary and Proper Clause, the Contract Clause, the Due Process Clause. The courts have used all of these clauses opposing the original intent of those clauses. It has used those clauses to create vast expansion in the size and the scope of government at all levels. And therefore, we have a government that swallows up more than 50% of the income of the average American. And Americans should be outraged by this. They should say, no more, we're not going to tolerate this kind of violation of the contract that we have with our government, the Constitution. Which is why, again, Americans need to know the Constitution so they can cry out and say, no more violations. We will not tolerate big government, because big government is actually a violation of our contract with our government. It is violating it today, and we should not tolerate that violation any longer.
I agree with it totally. Go ahead.
If the state is the highest of higher authority, God has no upper hand in this, there's no absolute moral law, the state becomes the absolute moral law, there never can be, in that system, an unjust law. Well, they pass a law to take away all your property. Well, that's not an unjust law. It's the highest authority.
We are a nation of laws, and if the judges say it, it's perfectly all right, even if it means killing Terry Schiavo or killing unborn children or partially born children. We're a nation of law, aren't we? Or is there a higher law, higher than the black-robed lawyers? Black-robed lawyers, I think, is a good term for them.
Mm-hmm.
It goes right along with their hearts.
And this, of course, living constitution always leads to judicial. Our founders argued, Hamilton particularly, that he thought the judiciary was the least dangerous branch of government because its powers are so limited to simply interpreting the Constitution and the laws. Oh, how wrong he was, because he was naive enough to think that the judiciary could be contained within the boundaries of the Constitution and that the American people would see to it that the judiciary was contained. They have not. They've done whatever they have chosen. And Justice Felix Frankfurter admitted this. He said, what governs is the Constitution and not what we have written about it. In other words, he recognized that the tendency was to say what the judge writes about the Constitution is more important than the Constitution, and that is the danger of a living, breathing Constitution.
All right, we've got Roger hanging on here patiently. Roger, do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes, I have a wretched question to match the wretched decision of the federal Supremes on the eminent domain takings for revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, as wretched as was the decision of the Connecticut Supremes, isn't it quite a stretch to say that there would still have been a legitimate federal issue to give the federal Supremes power?
Probably not a federal issue. It shouldn't have the Supreme Court. Again, what we have seen over the course of 150 years since the war between the states, or the war of northern aggression, what has taken place is an attack upon the powers. Well, powers is not the right, yeah, powers is the right term, the powers of the states. In other words, our system of government was set up that the states would check the federal power. The federal power was to have a few limited powers. The states would have large, wide-ranging powers. The Supreme Court has been used as a hatchet to chop that doctrine to pieces, such that now states have almost no powers. They're just minor subdivisions politically of the federal government, and which is why decisions like that wind up in the hands of the Supreme Court when they never belong in the hands of the Supreme Court at all.
And I think it's so important to understand our system was a checks and balances. And it was not simply a legislative, judicial, and executive. It was the state power of the federal government. Everybody understood that. And you go back and you read the 45th of the Federalist Papers, you'll find that the power of the central government was to be limited and defined because they wanted to have freedom, and they knew when you had an all-powerful centralized government, freedom would soon become simply a remembrance of things past. How far we've gone away from that today. Matters dealing with life, liberty, and property were to be dealt with at the state government, and those Connecticut Supreme Court justices ought to be impeached, mm-hmm. and the people of Connecticut should do that. But you see, they have been cowed into believing, oh, if the lawyers say it, if the judges say it, it's illegal. And you have corrupt lawyers. Many of them, of course, are subservient to special interests. And we have a corrupt system. After all, if there is no God, what's wrong with us being on the payout from special interest groups?
The attitude of the judges today is that of Chief Justice Charles Evans Hughes, who said, "We are under a constitution, but the constitution is what the judges say it is," which is no safety and no security at all. It reminds me of what Lewis Carroll in his Through the Looking Glass put into the mouth of Humpty Dumpty. Humpty Dumpty said, "When I use a word, it means just what I choose it to mean, neither more nor less." Well, Alice questioned this and said whether you can make words mean different things, and Humpty Dumpty responded and said, "Who is to be master? That is the question. That is all." And that's really the issue here.
And, of course, what President Clinton epitomized that when he said, it's really what the meaning of the word is. Mm-hmm. In other words, I wasn't really lying. I gave a special meaning unto the word is. And the thing is that this man was allowed to continue as the President of the United States after perjuring himself. But then, of course, what about our current president? He's lied as well. Mm-hmm. When are we going to have men of honor and integrity? I mean, both men go to church every Sunday with a Bible under their arm, but do they really represent the views that are laid out in the Bible, or do they represent powerful interests who are using Christianity to con the public?
You know, the solution to all of these problems is to go back to the Constitution as interpreted by our framers, and that takes millions of Americans understanding the framers' intent, original intent, and those words of the Constitution, what they meant by each word and each phrase, studying it, understanding it, such that we can tell our elected officials, you either follow the Constitution or we will replace you because you are a violator of the supreme law of the land. The Supreme Court is not the supreme law of the land. The Constitution is the supreme law of the land. And this means getting back to the biblical principles upon which the framers established our constitutional republic. And people need to understand that it's God's law. It's God's law they were seeking to implement in structuring our form of government. They weren't establishing some secular, atheistic, humanistic society. No, they were establishing a Christian society, Christian government, under God's law, following and applying God's law. And they said very clearly, any law any human being wrote that was in disagreement with or in violation of God's law is no law at all.
But of course,
the Supremes, when they say you can steal people's property, they're breaking the eighth commandment of God's law, thou shalt not steal.
But of course, the people are going to say, well, you want a theocracy then, and yet this is not a theocracy at all. It is a system built upon absolutes and on God's law, but not with any religious group ruling the country.
Mm-hmm.
It is to be ruled by the Constitution. What they do is they try to equate what we're saying with Islamic fundamentalism,
right,
the theocracy that they want. And that's not what we want. We want a limited government where men can be free. But
and
you have to have godly men before you can have freedom.
And Christianity is the only religion in the world that gives true freedom to those who are not Christian. Understand that. If you go to an Islamic state that's run by a Quranic Shari'a law, you are not going to have freedom if you are not a Muslim. Of course, if you're Muslim, you really don't have freedom there either. You only have freedom under a government structured as a Christian government, that is, with Christian principles in place that allow people freedom of conscience, freedom to disagree, but not freedom to change the law of the land. And that's where people have misunderstood what our framers intended. They had no intention of creating an atheistic secular republic or allow atheistic secular republic democracy to be created out of what they structured. The only way that that's been accomplished is historical errors, judicial opinions that are wrong in violation of the Constitution that have been treated as if they become the standard. Constitution is the standard, and follow the misled and misdirected decisions of justices over the years.
Well, let's get your telephone number out one more time here, your web page.
Our toll-free number is 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796, and our website is iotconline.com.
All right, fine. Well, thank you so very much. Our guest has been Pastor David Whitney from the Institute of the Constitution. You've got to know the Constitution. Most of our lawyers have never read the Constitution. It's not taught in law schools. We're going to have you learn, and you begin to teach the lawyers and the judges. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program. David, thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Genocide, and one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard
back in
1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview, and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street. It's an office building which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and we have a wonderful book. It's called So Help Me God. It's written by Judge Roy Moore, and I want to recommend it to you. We stock the book because you need to know what this courageous man has written about his stand of the Ten Commandments and the ability to display it publicly. And you have to understand that a lawyer who destroyed Judge Roy Moore because he wanted to actually come out and publicly acknowledge God was actually promoted. His name was William Pryor. He was promoted and rewarded for what he had done for his betrayal of Judge Moore, who he had actually been a lawyer for before, and he violated his lawyer relationship with Judge Moore, and Fob James, the governor of Alabama, who had promised faithfully he would support Judge Roy Moore. He betrayed him, but he was rewarded by the Bush administration by giving an interim appointment to the federal bench. Who knows, he may be the next Supreme Court justice rewarded for his treachery. Why would a Christian administration reward the man who destroyed Judge Roy Moore? You have to ask yourself, is anything what it appears to be? Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, and order a copy of So Help Me God by Judge Roy Moore. And then understand what's really behind everything going on today. One of the most significant books we carry, one of the six most important books in my library, is Fire in the Minds of Men. In fact, recently, President Bush used that term in one of his addresses. I think it was the inaugural address, the Fire in the Minds of Men. What is he referring to? Why, it's referring to a book, actually written by, quoted, by in the Librarian of Congress. And his book, Fire in the Minds of Men, by James H. Bell. But most people believe everything going on with Rousseau and the Enlightenment and Voltaire, and how mistaken they are. It all has to do with the occult. And when the aristocrats of past centuries took their lighted candles off of Christian altars and moved them onto occult altars and of masonry and the other secret societies, that this whole world revolution began, that ended with the Russian Revolution and the revolution in Cuba in 1959. Fire in the Minds of Men is such an important book. We recommend it to you, and we make hardly anything at all. We offer this because we want you to understand how this fits together. If you haven't read Professor Quigley's wonderful book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, it's 1,300 pages, but it's now available. It's been in print. It was suppressed actively for many years, if you doubt that. We actually have an interview with Professor Quigley where he tells how somebody bought up his publisher and destroyed the place to the first half of the book so it couldn't be reprinted. Why? Well, I believe it's because they don't want the American people to really understand there really are secret societies. And Professor Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, writes extensively in his book about the secret society that came to dominate England and took England into the Boer War and the First World War, and then came to dominate America. And England and America together created Adolf Hitler and encouraged him at every turn. The book Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, Fire in the Minds of Men, and So Help Me, available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like a free copy, a newsletter that goes into the Luciferian movement, the occult hierarchy that rules the world, and begins to document this whole idea, give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, I would hope you'll go to our website of RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. And you can pull, incidentally, my newsletters down. They are posted there. Please tell others about our program. Give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us as we reach out across America, trying to educate the people about the spiritual battle in which we're engaged. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, give us a call, and then pray for America, pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.